Roundtable.
Hello and welcome to the roundtable with me, Sunny Martin. We do apologize for beginning the program very late because of the heavy downpour here in Juba. It is raining very heavily. My guests have to make their own way through the heavy rain up to now, and we are beginning very shortly. And today we are going to be looking at an update on the security arrangement as stipulated in the Revitalized Peace Agreement of 2018. The President of the Republic, early this month, formed the Unified Armed Forces Command, a significant step in the implementation of the security arrangement in the September 2018 peace deal. The latest move calmed down fears over repeated delays and stalemate over the power-sharing agreement or arrangement in the military leadership position. In the arrangement, 60% representation is allocated to the ruling party, the SPLM-IG, and the remaining 40% is given to the SPLM-IO and so on. And joining me in the studio to discuss all this and to give us an update as to what is the latest on the security arrangement, I am joined in the studio by General Charles Machengkwol, who is the member of the Joint Defense Board, Head of Secretariat here in Juba. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Sana Martin.
And I'm also joined by Colonel Lam, who is Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel, who is the spokesperson of the SPLM-IO. Good morning and welcome, and apology for the rain once again.
Thank you very much, Sana Martin.
And we are also expecting to be joined here by Major General Lul Roy, the SSPDF spokesperson and also a member of the JDB, and we shall be getting our discussion on board right away. First of all, let's begin as we wait for Lul to arrive in our studio here. First of all, tell us, give us an update on where are we right now with the security arrangement after the formation of the, LAM.
Thank you very much, Sunny Martin, and good morning to our listener out there. Yes, as you said it very clearly, that early this month, that there was a formation of, partially, formation of the Unified Command, because we call it that at the command level. We have from the Army down to the organized forces, and that is a very good move. We are supposed to complete, according to the agreement that was signed on the 3rd of this month, we are supposed to, by now, complete the second line of the Unified Command. That is at the level of directorates and deputy directors in all the security organs. Then, yes, we still have forces in the training centers, and according to the agreement, we are supposed to graduate forces within 1 to 2 months, and we have already completed, I think, we are going to the end of this 1 month. We are remaining on another 1 month. The Unified Command that was formed, they assumed their offices, but they are still also facing challenges. Some still do not have accommodation, and also some still don't have transport to be able to go to work, but they are doing their best to be able to go to the office and do their job.
Okay. Yes, General Charles, tell us from the SOA perspective, where are we right now?
Yeah, thank you, Sandy Martin, and the listeners over there. This is, as my colleague Lam explains, that earlier this month, the government of South Sudan, with the revitalized agreement, has actually unified the unified label, the unified command. And then this one, it is a great step to the government of South Sudan in implementing the security arrangement. And then the unified command are now assuming their offices, and also one of them that have been confirmed to the rank of Major General by the President.
Mm-hmm. And where have we been deployed?
And I've been deployed to the Wildlife Service as the Assistant Director General for Environmental Conservation and Education. Mm-hmm. in that capacity. So we're actually facing challenges, as my colleague said, but we actually committed that we must to implement what the agreement wanted, because all of us, we want this country to have peace. This is the only thing that we actually targeted, not what the person can gain in the first place. So, as you has, How SOAG is part, this is what you are asking, right?
Yes, yes.
And yes, SOAG is part of the agreement, and as you put it that 40% of that agreement is shared by the IO and SOAG. So in the unified command, SOAG was part of that because it is a part of security arrangement. So we have no different with what UNFAD, which is actually in this agreement. SOAG is in agreement that the completion of unified command is very excellent, and the rest of the forces which are remaining in the training centers and the other directorate which are going to be to be done soon later is also what SOAG is willing to hear.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Colonel Lam, tell us what is happening right now in the training centers.
As usual, we have a lack of basic services like food, medicines. Rain, even we have already seen the rain have started.
Mm-hmm.
Some training centers lack shelters for these forces that are in the training centers. This is so discouraging because majority of these forces are deciding to be able to go home and relax. Much as there is hope, you know, the hope was given by the president by the formation of this, let me say, the unified command, gave them that hope. But as long as there is delay in the formation of the second line of unified command, that hope will continue to diminish. And as long as there is going to be continuous challenges in the training centers, that hope will continue to diminish. But we are trying to make sure that these forces get enough food in the training centers and so that they are ready for graduation.
Okay. We have been joined by Major General Roy, who is the SSPDF spokesperson and also a member of the JDB. Welcome, General.
Thank you very much, Brother Sunny Martin, and the listeners of Mirai Radio, wherever you are. Sorry for the delay. I think that really rained heavily in my area, more than another area.
Not only in the area, all over Juba. Even all of us are very wet here, you can see.
All right. But I was able to keep online to keep updated. Turn on my small.
Okay. Now, first, tell us, update us. Where are we with the security arrangement process from the SSPDF point of view?
Now we are on the same page. I was listening to my colleague Colonel Lampol Gabriel and Major General Charles Macheng on where we are. We are on the same page because we are implementing the same peace agreement. We are remaining with a few tasks to be accomplished. One is that the sharing of power at the level of directorates, then the division commanders, then of course the remaining major tasks that we have been waiting for. That's the graduation and the deployment of the necessary unified forces.
Okay, so when do you see that happening?
If you could remember, the Sunday peace agreement gave the parties to the agreement 2 months within which to accomplish the remaining tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still within the time that was given by the presidency.
Okay, and if I can take you to the training centers, how will you describe the condition of these forces who have been there for more than 2 years right now?
Well, conditions had been a little bit difficult. I was listening to Colonel Lam that the issue of lack of food, medical services, shelter, water and sanitation, what they call in the UN Watson facilities.
Yeah.
All these facilities have been lacking. They have been in short supply. And to make matters worse, we have just, the rainy season has begun, and it's going to be very difficult for the forces in the training centers to have proper shelter.
Okay, and before we go to the other panelists, what is the meaning and significance of this step towards the implementation of the security arrangement, the breakthrough in the formation of the unified command, according to General Lul?
It was a milestone in the sense that now the different commands will be speaking with one voice instead of receiving orders from different commanders. Now they will be having one chain of command in terms of giving orders and in terms of communication and control. So it's a major step, and they made it very clear that from now onward, instead of us going in different directions, will be ensuring that whoever is in violation is investigated and held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, General Charles, what is the significance of this? Because people have been waiting for all this time around, but now there is a breakthrough. What next from here?
Thank you. I think this is very important for the people of South Sudan to see the unified command is actually POM, and that will show the trust and the trust building among the different factions which are signed this security arrangement. I believe now that there is no what we call parties to the agreement in that command. So in command, they are going to speak as with one voice. They are going to command of the forces of this country. Then there will be no difference at all. What is only needed now is the remaining task, which is going to be put in the process soon when the presidency has come up with the process of implementing the whole part of the agreement of security arrangement. I think there's nothing which is actually worried people again, seeing the unification of command is already in place. So the command will speak with one voice. Even we in the organized forces, we also don't call ourselves now parties. We actually move as the South Sudanese in those institutions. So there is no worry again to the people of South Sudan. There is hope. Then the remaining security arrangement, which is not yet complete, it is actually going to be complete. And this is what is actually in mind of everyone now.
Now, these forces were supposed to have been screened. Those who are supposed to go for DDR should be taken for DDR, and those who are fit should continue. Have we completed this process so far, Colonel Lam?
If you follow the agreement very well, you realize that early this year, there were committees of JDB that were sent to the training center to do the screening. This screening has been done, and we have a total number of about 50,000 that are ready to be graduated, already screened, formed, put into military formation, and are ready to be graduated.
So we are talking about 50,000 to be graduated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, and first of all, now, what about those who are not going to be part of this 50,000? What happened to them?
When the screening is done, the 50,000 is ready for graduation, but the remaining are going through DDR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the issue of trust building. You heard from him, how would you describe the working relationship among these forces now in the training centers and also those command forces here in Juba?
Let me start with the training center. Mm. The training center is fully unified, and they work like national army. They don't have difference among themselves. The challenge in the training center is that there are some politicians or military officers in Juba who are linked to politics, trying to politicize the mind of the soldiers on the ground in the training centers. But trust me, they are really unified, and they work with one voice. That is in the training center. But at the level of the unified command, I'm not going to lie to you, it's still a work in progress. We are very happy that they are able to be able to work together, but it will take time for the unified command to be felt. I remember I had Lul said it sometimes back that it will take time for the unified command to be felt, their presence or their command to be felt on the ground. Because just few days after the unified command was formed, even when they assumed their offices, there was attack in our cantonment site of Liangiji. And when the forces were moved also down, they decided to evacuate. They also attacked in Koeji. So you get surprised. We have a unified command in the office, working, but they still, the SPLO get attacked. Then that means there is something still going underground. That is something that, as he said it, there is going to be like accountability, and whenever you violate, there is going to be an accountability.
Okay.
But I think it's a work in progress.
So what is causing the delay of the graduation of this 50,000 right now?
It's within time frame, as he put it, 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah, but I still think there's going to be a lot more of delay because 2 days ago, we are supposed to have the workshop of the first workshop of the Unified Command here in Juba.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the absence of the security advisor, the workshop was postponed and pushed to maybe next week or maybe never. We do not know. And this is one of the challenges we start facing, because the unified command, they need to start working together. Some of them were in the mechanism, like as Charles Macheng put it, he's a member of JDB, but the rest were not in the mechanism. So some of them even do not know the agreement. So it is good for them to be able to understand how the agreement work and how they should work together as a unit, not work as parties within that unit. It's not fair. It's not going to really work very well. We saw it happen on Monday during the parade in Belfam,
mm-hmm.
when a song was sung and people were like dancing, but the meaning of that song was very bad. You see, so it looks like the dissemination of peace has not gone widely, you know, to the forces here in Juba or in other barracks. So we just hope that this dissemination will take place, and it will start with the unified command. They need to be able to have a workshop so that they are able to work together as a unit.
So you still believe there is a trust deficit?
Seriously, yes, there is a trust deficit.
Okay, Lul.
Thank you. I would like to agree with some aspects of his statement, but I would also beg to disagree. One, where there is still a problem in terms of unified command, it is manifesting itself among the commanders that are not at the training centers. For instance, now all of us who have been involved in the implementation of phase one would agree that in the training centers, they have been there for the last 3 years, we have never had any problem at all among the necessary unified forces in all the training centers. The only little problem I had experienced or I was told about was at Pantit, and it was attributed to idleness, no?
Yeah.
Not because, no, idleness and no issue related with drug abuse. It had no political motivation. The attacks that Colonel Paul was referring to were not carried out by our forces at the training centers. We still have phase two from SPLIO that are in their respective locations.
The cantonments?
Yes, but the cantonments or villages. And it looks like some of these commanders from SPLIO do not have proper chain of command and communication with the high echelons of SPLIO up.
In Juba?
In Juba. Maybe they are having communication difficulties because some areas they are not accessible by internet, by
telephones.
By telephones. And maybe their conventional way of communication, like the two-way radios, maybe
yeah.
they are not enough. Yes, it is true. When we started training, we had a subject. We had one of the units that was called confidence and trust building, and that was the lesson that we had started with, and it worked very well, for your information.
Mm-hmm.
And I could remember I was the one who was leading the instructors that had gone to Greater Barrel Gazal to instruct 620 something instructors,
yeah,
for Greater Barrel Gazal. And the first thing I did was bringing all the forces together and telling them, look, the time for war is over, we're implementing peace, and therefore the songs that you had composed
mm-hmm.
against your opponent,
yeah,
they are no longer relevant.
Yeah,
I requested all the musicians from the warring, from the opposing sides, to compose unifying songs,
mm-hmm.
and preferably in Arabic. And within 7 days or within 72 hours, we have new songs
mm-hmm.
that were unifying in their contents.
For morale boosting.
Yeah, and they were unifying in their contents, and they were unifying because they were being sung in our national language, which is Arabic,
mm.
Arabic national language, Arabic. And I remember one of the musicians called Luka Dut, he's based in Patit, composed very beautiful songs. Now, with the second phase, especially some of our colleagues at the Directorate of Military Information, they have not yet realized that some of the songs that are played do carry bad messages,
mm-hmm.
similar to the one that was quoted by Colonel Lampaul. And it came to the attention of senior members of the command that yes, the song that was played at Bilpam, the contents of that song were not unifying.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a directive given that from next time we are playing our music, especially from the directed military information or from MO, military orientation, it should be a music that is unifying.
Mm-hmm.
These are the teething problems of the command and of the unified command. You know, we had been apart for almost 8 years, and some of us maybe got stuck with their guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it will be corrected. Now, the issue of delay.
Yeah.
I had a discussion with the deputy CDF, who was brought in on SPLAIO ticket.
Yeah.
That's Lieutenant General Gabriel Dope. He told me what they are going to start with is the meeting of the mechanisms. JDB is going to convene a meeting after this long holiday, and the JDB of course will bring other mechanisms, preferably JTSC, that was tasked with the responsibility of developing a timetable for graduation. So as soon as the holiday is over, JDB will sit, other mechanisms are going to be brought on board, and we'll get an update on JTSC. There were prerequisites like prepositioning of food, uniform, medicine, and all this. We'll get an update, but of course the bottom line is that what is needed is for the presidential advisor on security to provide the necessary funds needed for us to keep up the process.
Okay, now we have a lot of issues. I understand, according to the Minister of Presidential Affairs, Honorable Dr. Barnaba, he said one soldier to graduate, he requires 14 items for him to be well equipped. And right now, we have an issue. We have been told that we don't have weapons for these forces, no uniform, no boots, no all this. We have an arms embargo that has been imposed on South Sudan. Do we have all these equipments for the soldiers to graduate, the 50,000 we are talking about? Yes, Lul.
As of now, we have uniforms. Uniforms were brought in long time ago, especially for the military. We had friendly countries that had donated a lot of uniforms, different types of uniforms. The only thing that was done was not to distribute them before the graduation time comes. These uniforms are there. They are in stores run by JDB. I'm sure when the right time comes, they would be delivered. I'm not sure about the arms.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the leadership made it very clear, we are not in a position to acquire arms. And then, of course, these soldiers would be graduated, and as the previous leaders put it, with the sticks. So let us deal with what we have. Mm-hmm. Let us give them what we have at hand. And then when the time comes for them to be graduated and be redeployed, then maybe a miracle will happen in terms of acquiring arms.
Okay. And if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to The Roundtable with me, Sunny Martin, and we are coming to you live from Juba this weekend. And my guest, I have Major General Lul Roy, who is the spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, the SSPDF, and also a member of the JDB. I have Colonel Lampol Gabriel, the IO spokesperson, and also he's a member of the JDB, plus General Charles Machenkwal, who is a member of the JDB, head of secretariat, and he has been deployed under this new arrangement to the Ministry of Wildlife. And our discussion this weekend is talking about the significance of this security arrangement in ensuring that we have lasting peace in South Sudan. Our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion right here. First of all, Colonel Lam, first of all, if these forces graduate, deployed, and all over the country, what significance would it have on the insecurity in the country? Because we have been told several times that there are a lot of intercommunal conflicts happening all over the country, cattle raiding and all this.
I need to go back to the issue of graduation or the items needed for graduation. Major General Lula put it very clearly that we have uniforms, which is, in fact, yeah, it is true, we have uniforms. Right from 2019, we have been receiving uniforms from friends of South Sudan, like Ethiopia, Sudan, Uganda. This uniform has been coming in.
Egypt.
And yeah, even Egypt. Unfortunately, some of these uniforms were given to militias that defected from the SPLA-IO. Typical example, one was from one was given to the forces of Ochanpot in Maywood. And this is a violation. Some of this, there were some tents that are supposed to go to the training center. If you look at these tents at the moment, they're all around Juba here. There's some in barracks, some are in police post. And yet these are things meant for peace agreement. When we talked of lack of maybe weapons, when we do not have, it's an open knowledge. Recently, the police just made it very clear to us everywhere that there are weapons, because they have APCs that they paraded in this country. Let me say in Juba City here. Where did this come from if we are under sanction and we're not able to acquire weapons? So if there are APCs that can be paraded, that means we have weapons more than enough in South Sudan for this peace agreement, unless if these weapons brought in are meant for something different. I believe if we really want to move this country forward, we need to be sincere with each other, and we need to avoid this issue of playing things which will take us back to violence. When these forces, now coming to your point here, when these forces are graduated and deployed, I really am very hopeful that things will change. Because even those that have guns at the community level will be able to come to the training center. And they will also be afraid that the forces that are going to be deployed will deal with them in case they... Because these forces are unified and they are national. They are not party forces or tribal forces. When you go to the training center, like, let me say, in Greater Upper Nile, like Kaljak, you go to Mum, they are one force. They talk with one voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they will deal with you according to the law and according to the constitution. There is no way they are going to change their mindset and maybe look at SPLM or SPLM-IO or so on as their leadership. So I believe it will bring a lot of change to this country, and the security of this country will improve. And I believe also our refugees will be able to come back home.
Yeah. Yes, Charles, first of all, I want to also get your input. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel once these forces are deployed?
Yes. These forces were trained, and they had actually become one force in the training centers. So we have been visiting so many training centers. Then when we get them, then the way they thong, the way they move together, the way they do their own things, these are the posts when they are graduated, they will do much better than what is not doing now. These are the posts that are trained with the principles, with a lot of knowledge. I think when they are graduated, then they will be deployed along the country, along the borders, even the cities, as it is stipulated in the agreement. I think there's no much question about the process to be graduated. But as the two colleagues are actually talking, yes, I can put some intervention on what they are debated.
Yeah.
In line of this security arrangement, there are a lot of issues which actually there and here between the SSPDF and the SPLIO, because some of the process in the SPLMIO did not join the training centers. And again, in the SSPDF also, there are certain forces which are far, as Lura put it. Sometimes they don't get communication from the command here.
Mm-hmm.
So in this conjunction...
And what is causing that?
And because of the communication breakdown in the two largest parties, the SPLMIO and the IG. So... because of that, and some of them are not even in the right command in the SPLMIO, mm-hmm. sometimes in the SPDF. Even sometimes we put blame, because when we have this security arrangement, when we have this agreement, what is the need of people to fight in those respective areas? So that one also is taking us back to the square one of in this agreement. So I actually advise them that they should not even pull rope. They must come to the right position in order that to advise their bosses that they shouldn't even continue putting this kind of friction among themselves. So we are in implementing this agreement. There is no need of SPLMIO in certain areas that they can even attack the bosses of the SSPDF or the SSPDF to attack the SPLA bosses. That one is not actually something good to the people of South Sudan, even the international community.
Yeah.
We want to implement the agreement. South Sudan are tired from this kind of useless war. So we need actually to bring a national army, an army that is going to protect the constitution, an army that is going to protect the integrity of the country. So this is what we want, not actually to pull rope, that and that. And as long as we have now the unified command in place, I think things will not be like before. Then there will be changes, because the same command will speak one voice in Belpam, and they will also direct their command to the remaining forces which are in the cantonment side or in the barracks, because as PLMIO they have barracks which are not joined the cantonment side. And the other speed also, they have their respective places far not in the divisions. So this thing need to be brought under control. We don't want to hear again gunfire and all this. But in the issue of the civilian who are taking law into their hands, this is the work of the government of South Sudan. I think when we have this national army together graduated these forces, then there is going to be a need of the country to come up with a program of disarming. Either will be peaceful disarmament or forceful disarmament. So these things are going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Just only that a process, a gradual process in the government. I believe that the SPLMIO and SSPDF should understand this. So country is for all of us, not the SPLMIO, not the SSPDF. It is the people of South Sudan. Because when we say SSPDF, these are the son and daughter of South Sudan. When we say SPLMIO, these are the son and daughters of South Sudan.
They are not foreigners.
Just only differences. Differences are now brought to the agreement. Why should we not understand ourselves? This country does not belong to anyone. It belongs to all. This is what I can put here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Colonel Lam, you wanted to respond.
On the issue of attacks in the cantonment side, all bases, all communication channel, as they said before, that there is a breakdown of communication channel, maybe with our forces on the ground. We communicate with our commanders every day, every morning. If it is not through phones, we even go through flyers. We have all those communication. The challenge we have is, let's put it open. Most of our cantonment sites were established by the Joint Defense Board. By then, those are under the command of General Jock Riak, by then in CDR.
Mm-hmm.
We established over
myself
35. Yes, Macheng was there. He was still the co-chair. We established about 35 cantonment centers, or 25.
All over the country.
Yeah, 25 exactly. Out of 40, because there were proposed 40 cantonment centers, but 25 was established. But out of these 25 cantonments that were established, I can tell you clearly, we started losing Turu, which was attacked by the SSPDF. Mirmir, at the moment, is already lost. Liangiji, some few days ago, was lost. And Pieri was lost. These cantonment sites are under the command and control of the JDB, but directly it is linked to the Joint Military Ceasefire Commission. Now, if we are all speaking in one language, and if that there is no communication, you know, during the establishment of these cantonment centers, we went and visited them with all the joint bodies or the joint mechanism here. The SSPDF went jointly with the SPLIO to these cantonment centers. The challenge that we are facing, it's not because we don't communicate with our forces. It's because some of these forces from the SSPDF side were not visited. We never visited the barracks of the SSPDF. We only visited the major division headquarters, like in Torit, Malolchat, and Bor, that side of Upper Nile. We visited all the general headquarters, but not the outpost. Now, these outposts are still looking at IOS enemies, and they are not being used to make sure they attack the SPLIO. This cantonment side are being reached not only by us, the SPLIO, even by citizen. Is it a more go together? Even the UNMIS, they also fly down to this cantonment site and visit them. Now, if the peace partners can go to visit the cantonment side, what are the challenges that we're facing? How can we not communicate with them if they're able to fly into the cantonment centers and check what is happening in the cantonment centers? That means there is communication happening. But the challenge is, let's be sincere. We all, Macheng put it very clearly, we are all South Sudanese. The attack are happening in the Tronics MSC cantonment centers. They are our bases, yes, but they are peace bases. We have assembly areas that are not really under the matches they are under the JMCC, they are still purely IO, you see. But JMCC cantonment centers are now like part of the peace agreement already. That they are under the peace agreement because the food that are being supplied there come from the NTC. So we need to be South Sudanese and we need to look at ourselves as brothers and sisters, not enemies. But as long as we are not able to disseminate message to the ground, to the forces on the ground, this violation will continue.
So what do you think, in your opinion, before we hear from Lul, should be done to contain this series of attacks in Upper Nile region?
The JDB need to restart, because they used to do it in 2019 by flying to areas that there is tension, and they also speak with one voice. We used to, when we get information that there is a movement of this force from this point to the other, we immediately call the two co-chairs and inform them that there is a movement of IO, maybe, let's say IO moving to attack SSPDF.
Mm-hmm.
Then CDR will be called, that please, there is something happening here. He will immediately call the commander on the ground and say, please don't move. What are you going to do? Who ordered you to go and do this? The same with Jock. Whenever there is a movement, maybe of SSPDF to the other side, he would be called and he would call the person on the ground. If the classes happen without getting information, a team will be sent to investigate and be held accountable. I remember those of Achanpot and Korcholo were brought to Juba to be investigated and to be directed not to do. They even met the president. So we need to be able to do that again. If we're not able to do this, there are people who will take advantage and communicate and give money to the forces on the ground to continue the violation.
Why did that stop, that initiative?
You know, to move to the ground need resources.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to use the SSPDF choppers to be able to fly, but we know and all these choppers are now grounded. If they're there, they're kind of really not very safe to fly mm-hmm. in. So it requires some resources from the NTC. I believe if they're able to do that, we will change what is happening.
Okay. Yes, General Lul, first of all, after having heard from the two panelists here, so what, in your opinion, do you think can be done to contain these multiple attacks in the Upper Nile region without laying blame on who? So, because 2 days ago, I was talking to somebody in Malakal, the people of Upper Nile state are so afraid because they don't know whether this peace is holding or not. All the time they hear attacks here and there, and there was attack almost a few days ago. The governor have to fly to the county and contain the situation. Many people have been displaced. People are not living in peace.
Thank you, Brother Sunny Martin and the listeners. I would like to make some clarifications on some of the areas that were touched by Colonel Lam. He talked of three cantonment sites that were lost. Let me make it crystal clear that those cantonment sites were not lost to SSPDF. They were lost to the rival factions. For instance, Mirimiri was lost to Kidgwang.
Mm-hmm.
Kidgwang does not belong to us. Liangaji, there was a split within the ranks and files of SPLA-IU about 2 years ago. General Abdallah Muntuk defected, and immediately after his defection, there were a series of clashes between his forces and SPLA-IU before finally coming to us. The same thing in Pieri. Pieri is in Wurur County of Jonglei State. There was a split with the ranks and files of SPLA-IU, and that group also declared their loyalty to Kidgwang. Turu initially was part and parcel of SPLA-IU areas. Then there was a split within the ranks and files of SPLA-IU.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was fighting between former SPLA-IU commander Wichan. That was how it was lost at the early stages of the war. Now, the other dynamics that Colonel Lam has been omitting from our discussions is that we are also having other actors. On the side of SPLA-IU, they mostly get support from armed civilians. Among the news, they are popularly known as the White Army or Jemobor. And as we speak, these are the ones that have been supporting SPLA-IU. Even the latest clashes are on Mirimir. There were White Armies mobilized from Ler and Panyajar counties. They fought alongside SPLA-IU forces. There were armed civilians on the side of Kidwang that were mobilized from Koch and Mayendit. They fought alongside Kidwang forces. So these are dynamics that should be factored in before SSPDF is blamed. The other thing that I would like to point out is that, you know, it's scapegoating. All right. When you don't put your acts in order, if you don't run your movement properly, then you experience a split. Then instead of you handling your problems, you start pointing fingers at someone else, that it is this SSPDF Yawamolo. It is SSPDF Yawamolo. I've been saying all this, that no, it is not true. Whenever we have defecting officers, they would come out with a long list of their grievances against the SPLAIO leadership.
Yeah.
And it is a public knowledge that wherever defects comes out with a long list, SPLAIO has been turned into a family business. There is nepotism. There's what. And they would be speaking for themselves, including even the recent appointments. Just wait. You will hear some people coming out that they got disappointed when the respective commands were appointed. Just wait, you will see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We the ones that were responsible for appointing some of these senior commanders from SPLIO into the recently unified command? No. There are people with grievances. And just take your time. It won't be long before you hear someone that I was aggrieved by this appointment. And I will wait for Colonel Lam to say, yes, we are responsible for it.
Okay.
Now, yeah, the other challenges is that, yes, it is true. But the
question is, what is being done to contain this fighting in Apanai region?
First and foremost, SPLAIO BS primary responsibility. If they want to stop having problems within their ranks and files, they should be managing their affairs
so
properly.
So, as a peace partner, SSPDF, how can you support them to contain the situation?
We have been questioning them. When there was Kidwang split, we went in as joint assessment teams. We went and visited all the training centers.
Mm-hmm.
We told them, look, what SPLIO is going through is their internal problem. It will not affect the implementation of the transitional security arrangements. You know, that was a big help. Again, that was a big help. If they don't look at it, that's a big help.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are not being grateful. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Now, we went to training centers. Also, the government reached out to Kidwang.
Yeah.
A government delegation was sent to Khartoum. They were told, if you want to have your own path to peace, we are ready. So the intention was cease all forms of hostilities against SPLAIO and deal with us. It's also another step. And ever since the Kidwang group was visited in Khartoum, we have never heard of any new renewed hostilities in around Mageni's area. That was a big help that we gave them. But it looks like they are not appreciating us for always helping them whenever they are in problems.
Okay. We shall be hearing from Colonel Lam and General Macheng later on here in our program. You are listening to the Roundtable. My name is Annie Martin, and in the studio I have General Charles Macheng Kwol, who is a member of the Joint Defense Board, Head of Secretariat here in Juba, Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel SPLAIO spokesperson and also a member of the JDB, and Major General Lulu Roy, SSPDF spokesperson and also a member of the JDB. And our lines will be open to you in the second hour, where you can call us at 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Those are all our lines. You can also send us a short SMS to our SMS number 091-2177-141. When we come back, we are going to be hearing more from the panelists here about also the position of the Kidwang. Where are they in this unification of the command? All this will be coming to you after this short break. The